This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 224 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you, mate?
Why? What have you heard?
I haven't heard anything.
Oh, okay.
I was hoping to hear it from you.
That's okay. So I'm good, thanks, Randy.
Excellent. How's your week been?
Oh, you know, weakest horribilis.
Oh, really? Why?
Well, you know, I'm frantically getting myself organised for the Vivid Festival this weekend. You know, this presentation to do. It's what I haven't done before. So I'm building a whole new presentation. I've collated all the images I want to talk about and put them together. And, you know, halfway through building the presentation. And because I'm emceeing the event, I've got sent down a list of all the, you know, all the speakers and their bios. So I'll go print it out. So I want to put the computer on the tabletop to connect to the printer, and I don't know, the thing just fell straight off. Bang! Whilst the hard drive was spinning, and the hard drive spins no more.
Oh no.
This is all yesterday morning.
Oh. Ouch.
Yeah, it's, you know, the white screen of death.
Yeah, so you've lost everything that you'd worked on.
Everything on my hard drive.
Oh. That hurts.
Oh yeah. Oh. So, you know, all my emails.
So what computer are you running on now?
Well, the service center was so fast that, you know, they basically said, well, this drive's garbage. Just put a new one in for you. And so I'm on my computer, but it's running on a new hard drive. They updated the operating system, and it's all kind of new. So it's a little bit hard to find my way around.
Yeah, right.
And I'm desperately trying to get my emails working again, but that's causing all sorts of glitches. It's just been a fun couple of days.
And
now I've got to start all over again building this bloody presentation.
Oh man, that's horrid.
Do
you know what? You've reminded me of something. What was it? It was late 07. I was preparing for another trip across to California to do some more video training for lynda.com.
Yeah.
And I was in the same boat. I'd been working for days and days and days on preparing the notes on what I was going to be, you know, conducting this training on, and I was mucking around with something, I can't remember what it was, and I managed to completely hose an entire hard drive, like just erased everything on it, completely accidentally, and you know, once I realized what I'd done, I absolutely started freaking out. I thought, what on earth am I going to do? And as it turned out, I managed to find a guy in the Netherlands or somewhere who was just an absolute genius at data recovery and was able to undelete stuff that had been deleted. You know, even though I'd formatted the drive, he was able to turn back the clock and get all my data back. But that doesn't help you, of course. But
yeah, because this thing just it shakes, rattles, and rolls, basically.
Right.
Rather than spins and delivers data.
Oh no!
You know when your computer starts going ping, 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 ping.
Oh jeez.
Gentle. It's like
That is just
so. Yeah, just the joys of life, isn't it? And most of the important stuff's backed up, but all the stuff that I'm currently working on wasn't. And, you know, what are you going to do? It's a lesson there for all the young players, isn't it? You know, don't drop your computer. Yeah. Tip number one, you know. Tip number two, you know, save stuff in other spots, maybe.
Yeah, upload to the cloud.
So one benefit of it all, though, was, and it kind of comes a little bit full circle back to Adobe CC.
Yeah.
In that, I lost all my PowerPoint, my Outlook, my Excel, my Word, because it was all on the computer, and the versions I was running was now no longer supported. So I put the disk in to try and reload all my programs. It says, we can't do that.
What? What do you mean?
I'm just not interested, basically, is what the computer said. You know, it just had a little, you know,
because it's a new version of the operating system, it won't install your old apps.
It won't install the old Microsoft because it's too old a version. It's no longer supported. Bad luck, you know, get a life. It's like, oh, great, here we go. So I joined the Microsoft Cloud
Office Live.
Office subscription service, yeah. Yep. So we've been talking about how all software is going to start heading that way. Well, I've now joined up, $12 a month for both myself and my wife and three other computers should I wish to use them.
Right.
With access to the full Microsoft suite, long as I'm prepared to pay.
So five computers for $12 a month.
It's not bad, is it?
That's not too bad.
Not bad.
That's not as bad as Adobe.
No. No. So I could say, $12, I just couldn't even bother going down just 5 minutes down the street down to the local office supply store and buying a new version. You know, that was going to cost me a year and a half's worth of subscription just to buy that, and by then it'd be out of date.
Yeah.
So you may as well pony up for $12 a month, and and of course then everything I'm working on is stored on the you get 20 gig of cloud storage.
Right.
And you also get an hour's worth of Skype minutes a month, which is pretty good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's a few bucks worth of value, I guess.
Yeah.
If you use it.
Yeah.
And then both my wife and my son, she can access, I can access. It's kind of not a, I can see the benefits of Adobe if you're working with a couple of other creatives as well. It could be a great benefit.
Yeah. Absolutely. So. And you know, broken it down, that's like $3 a week. I mean, that's one cup of coffee.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, that's quite reasonable.
Yeah, exactly. I had no problem with it. I thought, well, $12. Yeah, and I think that's the model for Lightroom and Creative Cloud going forward. It's got to be at a price point that, you know, it's fairly painless, you know?
Yeah.
It's a meal a month or something, you know, or whatever. You know, $20. Yeah. Anything under $20, I don't think people think too much about, you know?
No.
Once a month, $20. Yeah, it's okay. You know, it's a CD. It's a DVD or whatever, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's so that's been my dramas for the week. It's still early in the week, so it's still time for other stuff to go wrong. But so far,
So you're having to recreate from scratch?
Oh, yeah, from absolute total. Yeah. And the worst thing is the other one I was working on an old a presentation I'd done for a different organisation where I was sort of pinching parts of it. So it yep. wasn't going to be quite as big a build.
Yeah.
Now it's a complete build.
Oh, no. Oh, jeez.
It's all fun and games until someone loses an eye.
Yeah.
And it's
just... Exactly.
So anyway, let's talk photography, shall we?
Why not? Something you're talking about Office Live offering you 20 gigs a month. Something that I saw through the week, which I thought was interesting, Flickr have now upgraded everybody's account to 1 terabyte of storage.
Absolutely.
You know, I've got to say, I'd sort of pretty much given up on Flickr.
Yeah, well, they've only got 7 users left, so it's only 7 terabytes. It's not like, we're not talking Google quantities here, you know. They're hoping to win over another 3 people, so they ran out to an even 10 terabytes. I saw a 4 terabyte drive for sale the other day for $179, so, you know, it's only costing them, what, $400 or $500 to set the whole thing up.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of money, Bruce.
So anyway, I thought, well, you know, it's probably worth mentioning, you know, I even though I back up religiously once a month
what brand of religion?
Western Digital. Western Digital.
Do you do it on Sundays? Yes, I back up religiously. I do it every Sunday.
I do back up my stuff once a month to external hard drives.
Yeah.
Which is at least a step in the right direction. I know there's a lot of people who are probably sitting there listening to this going, yeah, I should really be doing that, who aren't. But the golden rule is that you should always have data in 3 places. You should have your working copy on the machine you use all the time. You should have an extra copy on an external hard drive that is not permanently attached to your computer. So, you know, keep it somewhere else in the house so that if something happens to the room your computer is in, you've at least got, you know, a backup on an external drive somewhere else in the house. And then you should have a third copy which is not in your house, and ideally it would be in the cloud. And I don't tend to do that. I haven't gone that third step to cloud storage yet. I back up everything to these external hard drives, and that's kind of the limit of my, you know, my backup and redundancy plan at this point in time. But I thought, you know, wow, a terabyte of space, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, and that's on their free option, but that's on their basic option. That, so everybody,
you're saying that is.
That is, yes. Unlimited. It's pretty much unlimited storage.
Yep.
But it does have. It's now got advertising, which it didn't used to have.
Right. But so that's a small price to pay.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, we're all used to seeing advertising. No matter where you go on the web, you're bombarded with banner ads and all sorts of crap. So people are used to that.
There's been a big backlash to Flickr for this change, though.
Oh, really?
Big for several reasons. One was their lovely, and I don't mean this in a sexist way, their lovely CEO Marissa Mayer.
Yep.
Did come out during the week and basically say, and I quote, "With so many people taking photos these days, there's really no such thing as professional photographers anymore."
She didn't.
Oh, she did.
Oh.
You know, and a couple of people, I think three of the seven subscribers, arced up to that.
That is unbelievable.
Wow. It's astounding. There's really, I mean, how can someone who's launching an imaging site, revamp of a major imaging site, come out with something like that? You know, it's...
Whoa.
Yeah. And so as such, they unlimited, they used to, I think it's like $25 a year is what I've been paying for years for Flickr. I've been a Flickr member for like 8 years or something.
Okay.
And they've scrapped that price point.
Oh.
Yeah. So that what used to be called the Flickr Pro is being gone.
Right.
But it seems like they may have, sort of take a little bit of a step backwards on that, and if you're a legacy member, if you've been around for a long, long time, they're going to sort of keep honouring that price point.
Oh, okay. So you're grandfathered in.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So it's. But yeah, who on earth would come out and say
wow
that, you know?
As you said, particularly when you're trying to rebrand and relaunch a site that's dedicated to photographers to come out and bite the hand that feeds you, as it were.
Mm.
Wow.
Well, I'm just reading this blog, and it says, this guy's saying, I had to remind myself that this is coming from the CEO of Yahoo, who now manages one of the world's largest online image databases.
Yeah.
It's perhaps one of the stupidest comments I've ever heard.
Wow, that just boggles the mind.
Yeah. Does she really think that anyone with an iPhone or a point-and-shoot can cover the wars in Afghanistan or the strife in Libya and Syria, where recently lost incredible, talented photographers like, et cetera, et cetera? Mm. Using her logic, I guess we no longer have doctors either because of WebMD. And the proliferation of medical information available online. I wonder if she asked a friend to cover her wedding rather than hire a professional to document it. Yeah. By the looks of the photo that accompanied her statement, she might consider hiring a professional. Oh, love it. So that's a guy called Jim Colton, Colton,
right.
His blog. So if anyone wants to have a little look-see at that, it's kind of interesting, you know. So the lovely people of Flickr, little things to learn about the people who pay them money.
Wow.
Yes.
Something else I saw through the week, and this is only I think it's on their wish list. I don't think there's anything definite in this space just yet, but it's worth keeping an eye on. Facebook are trying to introduce a new graphic format that will replace PNG.
Papua New Guinea?
Yeah.
Why, what's wrong with them?
I saw this through the week and I foolishly didn't take a note of the source for it. Basically they're trying to come up with another open source format to replace PNG. And I don't understand why, because Yeah, PNG is an open source graphic format. It supports alpha channels and transparency. It does pretty much everything we need it to do. So why...
But Facebook don't own it.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah, they haven't got their code embedded in it so they can follow everything everywhere in the world.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
It's who knows what the thinking is, you know? Change for change's sake a lot of the time, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It really is.
Oh. Anyway, I'll do my best to find that link and post it in the show notes anyway.
Yeah, awesome. So what else has been up, dude?
Well, we got another email or two from Carl Hemmings.
Yeah, I got 7 of those. Yep. So what did Carl say to us in his lovely emails?
Well, he said, just had a brief listen to the podcast, up to the part where you talk lens envy. What a cracker. 800 mil would be nice.
That's why we call him Wee Willy Carl.
Yeah, but had to settle on only a 400 mil. Now, before you start saying has more cash than sense, it's not mine. The local newspaper did a story on me about my cancer comeback, which made the front page, and the D4 and the 400 mil 2.8 belongs to the photojournalist. The last photo is the one which appeared on the front page, taken with a 400mm. I got myself a canvas printed of that image. Would love to own that lens with a 1.4 teleconverter.
Me too.
Yeah. Anyway, his second email is very, very lengthy, and I will confess, Carl, I haven't had a chance to sit down and read the whole thing. It's all about speeding up your Lightroom
workflow. I'll be honest, you haven't read any of it, have you? You looked at it, you went,
I read the first line.
Just skip to the last line. That's more important than the
last
first.
Line.
Yeah, if it's
best regards, Carl.
There you go. That's something for the show notes, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
best regards, Carl. Yeah.
So, I shall copy and paste the entire War and Peace epic that Carl has sent me into the show notes.
What's it on though?
Oh, I told you, speeding up your workflow in Lightroom.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I was trying to.
What?
I was trying to.
What's it to the PowerPoint, Bruce? Yeah. I've got goldfish memory. Yeah. Did I tell you my hard drive died? My man flew last week.
Oh, dear.
So it's speeding up workflow. Well, it's excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you installed
I've got to say, in all the earnest seriousness, right. Awesome that you would take the effort to do that.
To do what?
I don't know. Send the stuff in to us, dude.
Oh, you
know?
Absolutely. We love hearing from our listeners.
That we care.
Even if we don't read the email, we still like...
We read the first and last line of it. Look, the gaps in the middle, surely.
Yeah.
There's some mention of Lightroom.
That's right. Someone should develop an algorithm to fill in the gaps for us.
Exactly.
We got a question come in on the Facebook page from Brendan Waits. Do you know of any new...
Brendan's an awesome guy. I've got to tell you. Now, just before we start, if you're down Ocean Grove kind of way, in Victoria, he's just opened up his own store down there, and go in and support him. Deadly serious.
That makes his question on Facebook much more relevant, because he says, do you know of any new camera stores opening this Saturday in, say, Ocean Grove, for example?
Well, I heard there is Ocean Grove camera and video, camera and photo, which I could highly recommend. Now, in all seriousness, I didn't know that's what you were saying, smart ass. But if you are down the peninsula down there, pop in and see Brendan. He's a top bloke. Can't shoot for... No, I can't say the word shit. He's a top bloke. He runs some great classes and lessons down there. The store's literally just open, but he used to work with me many years ago, and he's a top guy. So... I've got to tell you, and it's a rare occurrence in this day and age to see a camera store actually opening rather than closing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So all power to him, and if you are in the area, spend a couple of minutes and go visit the store. No idea where it is. Somewhere in Ocean Grove.
I was going to say, where's Ocean Grove for those?
Ocean Grove is down towards Torquay, down past Geelong.
Right. Okay.
Heading down towards the Great Ocean.
Halfway to Adelaide. What are you saying?
Well, pretty close. Yeah, it just feels that way. No, it's on the way. If you're going down towards the Great Ocean Road for a day trip or something, you're sort of passing in that general direction.
Right.
Quite a nice area. Yeah, it's a surfy area.
Yeah. So you've gone out for a day trip and you suddenly feel the urge to buy yourself a Nikon D800. You should just drop into this new camera store at Ocean Grove and pick one up.
And, if nothing else, go in and just shake his hand and say good day.
Spur of the moment stuff, you know.
Yeah, and buy a D4 with a 400mm 2.8 and a 1.4 converted car. That's, get off your ass and do it.
That's right. Ride your bike down there and pick one up.
Don't think and do. once again, in all genuineness, if people are down that end of the world, support your local stores.
Absolutely.
Good on him. He's a bit of a smart ass, though, isn't he? Now, we've just got something else just come through.
Dave Clark down in Tassie. Lightroom one for you both. Have you guys ever experienced when importing RAWs to Lightroom and then Lightroom seems to apply some sort of algorithm to the file which changes the look slightly? All my import presets are off. Doesn't happen when I process in Bridge. Just want RAW file to load up bare in Lightroom. I've always found Lightroom to slightly render images in its own way, just like it's applying some sort of profile or preset. Anyone else on the street had this phenomenon? Not a big issue. Just want to know if there is any workaround that you guys are aware of or not. Thanks, Kermit. Dave, I have a feeling, and I'm happy to be corrected if I'm wrong, that if you have things like contrast or saturation adjustments dialed in on your camera, even though you're shooting in RAW, when you import those images to Lightroom, Lightroom will adopt those same settings from your camera because it's essentially just metadata. It will apply the same settings to those images as you import them. If that's not what's happening, then I don't know. Glenn?
I've never paid enough attention to actually notice.
Right. Okay.
Because frankly, what comes out of my camera, I'm going to slap around so much in Photoshop or Lightroom anyway. It's not going to look anything remotely like what it came out and start with. So who cares what it's like when it comes out of the RAW file?
Yeah.
If you're into that sort of natural look, I guess it's important.
I guess you could try the other approach, Dave, and that would be create a profile, like an import profile, where you have actually gone through and set everything to neutral. So set the white balance to as shot so that it doesn't reinterpret the white balance. Make sure that the exposure and contrast are both set to zero. Make sure all your, you know, highlights, shadows, whites and blacks are all set to zero. Make sure the tone curve is set neutral. You know, go through every part of the develop module, set everything to absolute default settings, and then save that as an import development profile, and then use that profile every time you import, you know. So in theory then, it should import every image with those settings, which are actually nil settings. That's just a thought.
I'd just like to add one thing to that.
Mm-hmm.
Ditto.
Right. Lovely.
What he said. Yeah, there you go. It's fantastic, you know. Don't say you can't come here for professional advice.
And while we're speaking of Dave Clark, his continuing series of Bert and Ernie photos, if you haven't liked the Shutters Inc. Facebook page, you are doing yourself a great disservice. It is worth coming to the page just for Dave Clark's photos every week.
There's nothing much else there of any value. So definitely his cartoons are the thing. The only reason I visit once a week.
This week's it was all about Bert and Ernie are struggling to attach their cheap eBay triggers to Bruce's Sony. He's got a picture of the Sony camera with an actual cactus sticking out of the top of it. That was very funny.
Oh, he's a funny dude. Yeah, but the pressure's on. What's he going to do next week?
Exactly. You have way too much time on your hands, Dave.
Well, he's Tasmanian. He's got two heads to think.
Well,
he's got one for thinking of the jokes, one for doing the other stuff you need to do.
That's right.
We did have some bloke called Adam Davidson send through a thing during a couple of days ago, yesterday, recently.
A new listener?
Not long ago. about, he was mentioning, we talked about the Mosaic book from your phone the other day, and he pointed out Stickygram, which is where you can get your Instagram images turned into stickers.
Oh, okay.
Stickygram, and I've seen a similar thing where you can get them done to fridge magnets.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. So lots of cool ways of doing stuff with your photos these days, effectively, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they don't have to be just orphaned on your phone or lost on the hard drive, never to be seen again kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You can stick them on your fridge. You can put them on a wall. As a matter of fact, I got it now.
And what size do they make those stickers go up to?
I don't know. You know...
I mean, not that you want 20 by 30 inch stickers, but
Well, that's a bit large. Yeah. How many did you get in the pack? One.
Where is that industrial fridge that I had? I've got to stick it in place on it.
Oh, I was just putting my rear window of my car, but that might be on the large side. Oh, no, Stickygram is... they're not stickers. They are the magnets. Look at that. I just saw the word sticky and thought it must be stickers. But no, they are magnets. Well, looking at the guy holding it in his hand, you get like 9 to a sheet.
Oh, okay.
For about $15, including free worldwide shipping.
A sheet being A4 or what?
No, 20 by 30, no. No, they look to be, 5 by 5, 6 by 6.
Okay.
Yeah, so each one, each magnet something be like 2 inches or an inch and a half, like probably not that big. It's probably maybe an inch by an inch.
Oh, okay.
So not big,
right?
But fun.
So you can get your initials on there.
But you hold your Instagram, little Instagram photo. You can't have your watermark on there that sticks off. But other than that, just trying to see if I can find a little bit more info as we go along. But there we are. Each Stickygram is 50 by 50.
Oh, okay.
So approximately the same size they appear on your iPhone.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Makes sense. Yeah. All right.
See. So when you drop your iPhone and you break it, you can peel the sticker off and stick it on the screen and fool everybody.
Except the magnets, they're not stickers, dude.
Oh, of course.
But there should be stickers.
Yeah.
There should be magnograms, not sticky grams, because it doesn't stick to everything, does it?
No.
You stick it on my kid's forehead, what's it going to do? It's going to fall straight off.
So there's no metal in your kid's forehead?
Not yet. Okay. The oldest one's gone, almost 6 years without doing any serious damage to herself. She's never banged her head once in 6 years.
Really?
The two-year-old does it about 4 times a day. So if anyone's going to need metal plates, it's going to be... And then we'll be able to use the sticky grams, Bump here, don't knock this. Yeah. And I did see also for you, you the sole Sony user, in the world, that Sigma's 35mm 1.4 has just been released for Sony mount this week.
Meh, whatever.
It's a beautiful lens.
Is it?
Oh yeah. Oh,
that's just a focal length I'd never go near.
Well, me neither, really, but a lot of people do like it.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, this is a sweet lens. It's beautifully sharp and it's great, but I can't shoot the 24-70, though, and what's the point of having a 35?
I must admit, the weekend out at Trundle, I really fell in love with my 50mm 1.7, which I very rarely use, and I think I will start using it more now. 35 is just kind of, it's that sort of, kind of focal length where it's not
wide. What if you're stuck with it for a weekend? I reckon you'd pull it.
Well,
off.
Maybe I would. If I
think the Trundle weekend, the sort of shots you were doing, that would have been a lens that for certainly the outdoor stuff with the vehicles and things, that would have been a pretty nice focal length of some of the stuff you were shooting. So
okay, interesting.
But
it just strikes me as being not wide enough to be fun as a wide angle and. Not enough pull to be fun as a zoom, as a telephoto.
But as you say,
if I'd spent a weekend with it and nothing else, I'd probably find that there was great value in it.
And, you know, that's a good lesson for whichever lens you have in your bag that you don't use very often. You know, it's probably the thing you should pull out and force yourself to do that with.
Yeah, totally.
You know, if you want to grow your photography, is to say, well, you know, this is what I'm using. I'm shooting 50 mil the entire weekend, or I'm shooting 35 or 28 or 200, whatever it is.
Mm.
And that's all I'm going to shoot. I'm going to start seeing the world with that perspective for a while.
Yeah.
It's not a bad challenge. It's that kind of challenge, I guess. If you're feeling it a bit in the photo funk, yeah, you've lost a bit of your fojo. I heard someone call it the other day. Yeah, had a customer come to a workshop that day because she'd lost her fojo.
Right.
Yeah, her photo mojo.
Right.
And there's that kind of challenge where you've got to go out and you're limiting yourself with the gear you have, and you're limiting your viewpoint.
Yep.
That can make you see stuff that you wouldn't necessarily normally see, and that can be a great challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I once forced myself to go out and shoot nothing but my iPhone for an afternoon.
Oh, okay.
But after 3 minutes, I was bored. So then I stuck a glass jar in front of the lens and shot the iPhone through a glass jar, and that kept me going for hours. That was fun. Yeah.
Why?
It distorted everything.
Right.
Okay. And it gave it a weird and unusual look.
Right.
An unusual light, you know, and you're seeing the world differently, you know. It's,
fair
yeah,
enough.
I don't know. Why do you do things, you know?
Well, I guess it's
you try
just,
something.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it's keep trying different things to see what works and what doesn't. And yeah.
And are you mad? Are you? Is it something that's... Yeah. Now, I want to talk about a couple of photographers before we go on.
Okay.
A couple of photographers I found this... Not found, I came across. I was led to by mysterious forces, whatever you want to say. Which
right.
I thought, there was some pretty cool stuff. And
okay.
I thought, well, yeah, I always like to pull out interesting photographers and stuff, so we'll do these two.
Mm-hmm.
I came across a guy who does a series called Other People's Clothes.
Okay.
Which itself is unusual. And basically, this guy's name is Caleb Cole. So C-A-L-E-B, Cole,
yep.
C-O-L-E. And from a very young age, his mother used to take him to junk stores and bric-a-brac stores and secondhand clothing places and markets and stuff. And they're always buying stuff. So he started getting this habit of buying pretty much everything, stuff. And then as he grew into a photographer, he started wanting to know more about these articles he had bought. You know,
right.
Envisioning the people who wore the clothes, the people who owned the stuff.
Right.
So he started wearing the clothes,
okay.
And building sets, building scenes of the things he'd accumulated, and trying to imagine life of the person who's wearing these clothes in this environment, and doing all these self-portraits. They're kind of cool, you know.
Wow.
It's just a great visionary idea. So it's called Other People's Clothes.
Okay.
And, there's some great quirky stuff in there. It's awesome.
Okay. We'll put that link in the show notes.
Yeah, so that kept my ADD, entertained for minutes.
right.
It's about as long as you can hold my attention for anything. So that was pretty good. And then there's another one I was a bit disappointed. I posted this up on my Facebook page and almost no one seemed to recognise the brilliance of it. So it's either I'm mad that's probably a given, people just didn't quite grasp just how incredible this guy's work is.
Right.
And now he's Chinese, so I'm going to attempt the name. It's Liu.
How do you spell it?
L-I-U. Liu, L-I-U.
Yep.
Bolin, B-O-L-I-N.
Okay.
And his website's Liu Bolin Art.
Okay.
And basically what he does, he'll find a scene and stand perfectly rigid in this scene as people come and paint over him. He has these artists who paint him to
yep.
blend into the scene.
Yep.
And then they shoot him.
Yep.
And he's basically invisible, but he's just visible. Yeah, it's an incredible, incredible work for all these artists to get the perspective, the lighting, the tones, to recreate what they do. It's really quite astounding work.
Yeah.
And so I was super, super impressed with that. And hopefully there's some people out there in podcast land who will find some joy in just the intricacy and the amount of commitment to effort. And this is, when I met up with a Melbourne photographer, Bill Geckers, the other week, we were talking that he spends a week planning one image. you know, where most photographers go out and shoot lots.
Yeah.
And well, this guy's the same. He has this vision, but it could take him several weeks to get everything in place, to and hours and hours and hours of prep time on the location itself for a shot.
Wow.
You know, it's a very different philosophy for shooting that most of us have. You know, let's just go out and, you know, we might shoot 400 photos in an afternoon or something and, you know, be happy with six or eight of them.
Yep.
Yeah. These people, their entire vision is to have a photo at the end of it all.
I'm kind of planning something like that right at the moment.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Do tell. If you can, don't.
Well, I can, except I may not get permission to use the venue. The venue being a... you know when they build a freeway and they cut a swathe through the middle of a hill because they don't want the road to go up over the top of the hill?
Cut, yeah.
Right. Well, when it's a three-lane freeway in each direction, they quite often leave a big chunk of the hill that they've gouged out in the middle of the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on the F3, which runs between Newcastle and Sydney, there are quite a lot of those particular places. And I had this idea for a shot, which would be a combination of two shots. You probably could pull it off in one go, but it wouldn't look as slick as doing it in two shots. And the idea was to have to get permission to go up onto this rock outcrop in the middle of the freeway at around, you know, your golden hour, so either first thing in the morning or last thing in the evening, with a model, you know, some sort of, you know, a fashion-y look with a, you know, a sheet flying out behind her, but then having a long exposure for the lights of the cars, so that you would end up with the red streaks on the left hand side and the white streaks of the headlights coming towards you on the right hand side. So I was thinking, the way I was thinking it through was that I'd actually do it as two shots. Do her first off with, you know, some lighting, and, you know, get her the way I wanted her, but with the camera locked down on the tripod, and then once I've got the shot of her, wait a little bit longer, wait for it to get just a little bit darker, and then do, you know, a good 60-second, 2-minute exposure of all the lights on the freeway, and then layer the two together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm kind of planning that, which, you know, it's kind of like, well, what you're saying is...
It's called a Nahi shot.
Is it?
A Nahi, N-A-H-I-H.
Oh.
It's an acronym. It's called Not a Hope in Hell.
Right. Okay.
Because, you know, there's not a single bloody council in the world that's going to let you do that.
Well, I rang the Roads and Maritime Services, as it's now called, what used to be the RTA, and I said, look, I'm a photographer, I want to do this shoot, and this is where I want to do it, who do I need to speak to? They put me through to the guy in charge of filming permits, and I talked it out with him over the phone, and he said, look, all I can say is put it all in writing, email it through to me. He said, I'm going to have to bounce it off a couple of other people, and it's going to take a little while for me to get an answer for you, but, you know, send me, you know, what you want to do, outline every aspect of it, how you're going to get there, what you're going to do for safety, when you're going to be there, how long you're going to be there, how you're going to, you know, get up and get down, and blah, 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 blah. So I've done all that. And I've sent it off to him, and now it's just a case
Did you tell them he had $20 million of public liability insurance?
No, I didn't.
That's what they'll ask for.
Right.
If they do decide to go, if they possibly allow it, you're going to have some serious public liability insurance.
Fair enough.
Because all it takes is one car to be distracted by what's going on. This big sheep billowing behind this girl on top of a rock in the middle of the road. I love the idea. I think it's a fantastic sounding shot. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderfully creative, and I hate you for it.
I can imagine you'll go and do it before I've had a chance to do it.
I'm off and out now. Yeah. Wake up the 6-year old, I'll do it with the kid instead, because it's easier. They run faster when the cops are coming. But I do look, now. I think the idea is that if you can get the angles right, and that's obviously the key to not being able to visualize what the actual location is.
Well, that's exactly the thing. Right. This particular rock outcrop that I've got in mind, it has a quite a a user-friendly slope on the western side, which would be the side we would climb up, and then we would walk along the length of it, which would probably be 50 metres, and at the other end, it actually drops off quite steeply, so you'd be able to get her to stand, you know, just a metre...
Just slightly down,
yeah. ..metre or two in from the edge, but you've got this nice drop-off behind her that then sort of stretches off into the distance, so...
What about wind direction?
Well, that's something I haven't had a chance to work out.
Is there a natural funnel or that kind of thing? Is that sort of thing? The next thing you think about,
exactly.
working with a prop like flowing fabric can be such a nightmare.
Yes.
And often will require, you know, a third person to do the flinging.
Right.
And how to get them out of the shot, of course, as well. And,
yep.
And then if that sort of, like with roads, with that kind of chiseled out hillside, it can be a natural air funnel.
Yep.
So you might find, is it always going against you, or is it, it could be a frustration. That'd be a great thing to be able to find out, which way does the prevalent winds go. And there might be a time of year, where it's more suitable as well, it just makes life a little bit easier. It's all little, big shots like that. Anytime you've got a big plan for a shot, you've got to try and think of all these weird variables.
Yes, absolutely.
That could possibly come into the equation.
So maybe I'll need to sort of pull up on the side of the road and have a look and see what the prevailing wind direction is in that location.
Have one of those little spinny things on a pole, just stick it out and stick the pole up for a couple of minutes and pull it back down and do that. Is it on the way home every day? Is it? Can you stop for 5 minutes every night?
Yeah. I pass it 10 times a week.
build a chart over a period of months.
I'd be like, bloody Tom Hanks in Castaway, you know, scratching marks on the rock.
I was thinking more Inspector Gadget. Yeah. This is an extender arm coming out. Oh dear. Let's keep us informed of what's going on with that, how that develops. Yeah, there's no pressure. We want to see the shot now.
Yeah, mate. So do I. I hope they come back and say, okay, you can do it.
It just seems to be such a politically correct world these days that anything with any sort of ambition or slight daring seems to be it's just easier to say no.
Exactly.
It's too easy for people to say, to pull out the old health and safety or public safety or any other thing that they can use as an excuse to make it someone else's problem or not have to deal with it themselves,
Well, I went into great detail with the email that I sent. I, probably fleshed it out to about 300 words, and I addressed all of the concerns that the guy I'd spoken with had addressed on the phone at the time, so all the things that he talked about, I'd made notes of and then made sure I addressed all of those things, plus the other things that I thought were relevant in the email. So I figured, well, hopefully whoever's making the decision will at least read the email and go, okay, this guy's obviously put some thought into this.
This looks like War and Peace. I'll just read the first and last.
Touche.
Remember the guy who said it to you? Dear David, with kind regards, Bruce. Now for that one, the 2 hour
Well bullet played.
Points, dude. You want 6 bullet points, no more. Yeah. And maybe include several $20 bills in the envelope. Yeah.
Oh dear. Hey, we got another email. Oh, sorry, not another email. Another Facebook comment.
Won't they leave us alone?
We don't want them to leave us alone.
Oh, that's right, I forgot.
This one from Lee Gatland. G'day, Lee. Good to hear from you, mate.
Well, Lee, I'll get to meet him this Saturday night.
Yes. And he said, guys, with Vivid on and the meetup happening on Friday, and I have corrected him, it's actually the meetup's on Saturday, how about touching on the best way to capture the night shots for Vivid? And I've responded on the wall saying, you need any help with that, Lee.
He's probably just looking at general.
He's been shooting some awesome stuff. Well, I guess it depends on which aspect of Vivid it is that you want to shoot. Like, if it's, shooting the Opera House and the bridge with all the pretty lights on it, then Lee's been doing an awesome job.
Yeah. You see, it's called putting it on a tripod and using a long enough exposure so it's not too bright and not too dark.
That's it. idea.
No, that's actually it.
Yeah.
That's how night photography works.
Yes. Listen, about 3 or 4 episodes ago when Adam Davidson asked, what are the correct settings for my photos?
Just make every photo perfect. Well, it's simple, the right ones. It's very simple, you know. There's a lack of common sense in photography, you know. But I'm looking
It's because there's no professional photographers, mate. That's the trouble.
Of course. I've only known. What's the meaning of life? There we go. That's the latest one that's come up.
42.
42. That's, yes. Well, if you believe that, yeah. Yeah. Now I'm older than 42. I have to think of a different number. But I'm looking forward to Sydney this weekend coming up. It should be, if I can get my presentation built, I look forward to even more. But we should have a great night out. What's the weather going to be like? Are we going to be blessed with 22 degrees and
that's
balmy?
A good question. I haven't got, hang on, I will just pull up the app on my phone and scroll through to Saturday. Next 18 hours. No, we want a little bit further off than that. Saturday, 22 and rain. Fantastic.
That sounds unpleasant, doesn't it? Yeah.
90% chance of 10 to 20 mils of rain. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. So we set you a challenge there, young Bruce.
Yes.
Two plans. We need two directions that we're going to go. We need somewhere we know we can go for walkies and to see good stuff
right.
if it's not raining, mm-hmm. and somewhere we can go if it's piddling the dam where we can still have some fun.
Yep. Okay.
So, you know, you set a challenge to yep. give us a wet weather option.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean cowering by the side of the building with the digital playground. Yeah. That don't count.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And I don't know. I can't remember the name of my hotel because it always piled back to my hotel room, and we could shoot in the foyer of that.
There's a few good archways and alleyways and things that are covered around the rocks. So
nice.
We'll find somewhere.
Yeah,
we will find somewhere.
And we're just about to make sure everyone brings along a nice tripod because it's important if you want to do those nighttime shots. Yeah. The lovely people of Velbon are loaning me one, so I don't have to carry my damn thing up.
Nice.
It's rather pleasant. Yeah.
Nice.
And we should put a big call out. Anyone who's in Sydney this weekend, come on down to the digital playground and come on. See some free stuff about photography and there's a wealth of speakers. There's an amazing array of speakers at the digital playground for both days. So definitely, if you want to come and get some free photography stuff, and let's face it, the weather's going to be crap, so you might as well come in.
That's an absolutely fantastic idea. Except by the time this podcast goes up, it'll all be over.
Well, other than that, yeah, we had fun.
Yeah. Huh?
Listeners,
we had an awesome time.
You know, here's the weirdest thing. It's going to be a little bit strange because I'm the MC of the event, but I'm also one of the speakers. So
right.
I have to, for the first time in my life, I've got to introduce myself.
Oh, really?
It's just going to be kind of interesting.
That's,
you know,
that's a bit weird.
I'm trying to build myself up. You know, I got to tell you. I've looked forward to this moment for years. The joy of being able to introduce this incredible next speaker. He's fantastic. I'd like to introduce myself. It's going to be a bit of an odd moment, you know.
Excellent.
The Vivid Festival itself keeps on going until after the weekend, I'm sure, doesn't it? So, you know.
Oh, does it? It continues into next week?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it goes up until the end of the month. Or like the 7th of June or something like that. I know it goes for a long period.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, definitely. But, yeah, nighttime photography, you know, it's still a good question, however long it needs to be. because if you do it too long, it looks crap. If you do it long enough, you can't see anything.
So in all seriousness, though,
yes.
for those people who are not as advanced as, you know, as Lee or as experienced as Lee is, because Lee's obviously got his technique down.
Has he?
How do you meter for something like that?
So something like Vivid.
Okay, yeah. So let's say you're up on the Carl Expressway on the footpath looking across at the Opera House with all the wonderful lights shining on it. How do you decide what's the right exposure for that particular shot. How are you going to set your metering for a shot like that?
Well, a spot meter on the building.
But the lighting is always changing because they keep changing what they're shining on the building.
But you're going to get yourself somewhere in the medium range. It gets you away from being a total guess and gets you within the ballpark. So if you find a light source, if you've got an array of light colours on there from incredibly bright to dullish, and find something mid-range, not your super low intensities like your blues and reds, but something medium range light.
Like a green.
It's going to get you pretty close.
Yep.
Because once again, you don't know what's coming, unless there's a cycle of lighting that you can time and know when the next cycle of that pattern's going to come through. But if it's constantly changing, it's like trying to shoot on a stage show when you don't know what the lighting show is going to be like.
Yeah.
You know, 1 minute it's red, next minute it's blue, next minute it's white. You know, you're all over the shop. Or you take the slight cheating way out and aperture priority and underexpose exposure compensate underexposed by two stops and hope. A lot of it's got to be there because if it fluctuates that much, if it's not a constant light show, I mean, it's not like I know some of the buildings have just a fixed lighting pattern on them.
Yep.
It's fairly easy to work with, but if it's constantly changing, it's a nightmare.
Do you know what? I used that very approach when we were in the US in 07.
Yeah.
We went to Disneyland. And we stayed for the closing fireworks.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Why magical is that place?
And I used exactly that technique where I set my camera up on the tripod with a cable release, set it to bulb mode, and I would basically just open the shutter, and depending on the intensity of the fireworks that were exploding in the sky, I would just go, okay, there's enough light there now, and I'd shut the shutter. And you know what? Pretty much all of my shots were exactly where I wanted them to be. The first couple were off while I sort of, mentally dialed it in. But once you got it dialed in, you'd learn just based on how much light you were seeing reflected back at you, you'd go, I've got enough there to get an exposure, and then you'd flick the cable release off again.
And a lot of photography is that, though. A lot of photography is feel.
Yeah.
You know, the technical can get you so far, but anything that's amorphic and happening and changing like that, science is going to let you down because there's no time for it.
And in all honesty, I would say shoot at your lowest ISO with something like Vivid, because you don't need to shoot at a high ISO because we're happy to have a long shutter. A long exposure, or at least I would imagine.
Well, what's happening with the light source? If it's changing during your long exposure, you're not going to want that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. I haven't actually been to Vivid yet, so I don't know how quickly those patterns change.
Me either. But that's the thing. I mean, photography is problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good photography, you've got to try and solve the problems you're thrown up. You get to, let's say we get there on Saturday night and the opera house changes every 45 seconds.
Yeah.
If you stay there for a while, is there a site, the like six images they bring around every 45 seconds? Or you get prepared for, okay, I want to do that one. Get your exposure as best as you can.
Yep.
Wait for the next cycle around, shoot.
Yep.
You know,
good point.
There's that pattern, or there's, okay, they seem to be staying on for a fair while, then we'll do the, I'll just do the bulb long exposure and I'll feel it, know? If it's just tones of colour and you don't mind it sort of blending in a bit, then try a longer exposure and see what the effect, because, sometimes the mistake of the exposure being wrong can be better than the actual shot. That you're trying to achieve. Yeah, one of the best photos I ever took in my life was of Peter Garrett and from Midnight Oil.
Yeah,
and it's because I knocked the dial on my camera. I wasn't paying attention. I knocked it from manual to aperture priority, and all of a sudden the shutter went from a decent 60th of a second down to 2 seconds.
Right,
and the resulting weird blurred shot is incredible. Yeah, but it's fluke.
Yep.
Yeah, but, the unpredictable can be fantastic.
Do you know what? I have a very similar story to that.
Do you really? Peter Garrett?
I was in Adelaide for the Formula One Grand Prix, so that dates it. That's putting it right back, early 90s, maybe 92. And I was walking along, obviously still film days, and I heard this car coming down the street. This was not a in the race. This was just out on one of the streets. Heard this thing coming before I saw it, looked, realized it was an AC Cobra, and thought, oh, wow, a Cobra, you know. And so I've brought my camera up to my eye, and I'm sort of stood, you know, stepped out between two parked cars as this Cobra was coming towards me. And I've, you know, not had a chance to look at what settings were on my camera, and I've pushed the shutter, and I'm panning because of the movement of the car. And I've realized that the shutter hasn't, you know, gone kalunk kalunk straight away. And I'm thinking, oh crap, and I've kept on panning. And
if,
again,
if
it was...
you tell me Peter Garrett was in that car, dude, I'm not telling
you. No. But, you know, it ended up being like a one-second exposure as this car has gone past. And it actually couldn't have been that long, but it felt like an age at the time, you know. And I remember thinking, oh, that's going to be crap. But when I got the image back, it had this beautiful blur across everything. Like, even the car was blurred, but you could tell what it was.
That it was sexy blur.
Yeah. And even today, you know, I still love that image. You know, I got a Ciba Chrome print because I was shooting slide. That's right. So I got a print of it, which I've still got in a folder somewhere. And yeah, I should scan it. But yeah, it's as you say,
the happy mistakes.
The happy mistakes. Yeah.
It's I've got a similar fluky image of a few years ago. There was the moon and two planets forming a smiley face in the sky.
Oh, okay.
And it was on the news. So I took the girls outside. Well, I only had one girl at the time. The girl outside to show up. And I put my camera on top of the car to do a shot. To make click, click. Yeah, it was a fairly slow shutter speed, half a second, something like that. Mm. But I forgot it was on continuous drive. So I've gone click, click just to get the shot. And then as I'm pulling it away, it's click, click again. But the movement has turned the two eyes. It's actually made full round eye shapes.
Wow. You know?
The moon has become actual full lips. And then there's a streak of line that's created a nose in between.
Wow.
I mean, total fluke. But you take it.
Yeah,
you
know, absolutely.
Yeah, I meant to do that.
Totally planned that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been practicing that Zen art move for weeks to get that just so. And the happy accidents can be fantastic, you know. They change the way you see the world quite a lot, you know.
Yeah.
It's like when someone walks through, if you're doing a slightly long exposure shot and someone walks through the frame, well, that blur can just add something that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
But it's not planned, but the accident of it makes it.
Yes.
Know?
Yep.
It's all good.
Absolutely. Now, I have one other thing I was going to discuss, but it's probably going to take a little bit of a while, so we might hold off on it.
Hold off till next week.
Okay. Did you have anything else you wanted to discuss?
No, I'm done. No, I'm done like a dog's dinner. I'm going to go and do some work.
get your talk ready for Friday.
Build this presentation.
Now, what day are you flying up?
Friday night. So workshop all day Friday, straight to the airport, fly up.
Wow.
Straight to emceeing duties on Saturday morning.
Right. Excellent. All right. Well, I shall look forward to catching up with you on Saturday afternoon.
And it'll be fantastic. I look forward to it.
Yeah, and catching up with a bunch of photographers for a photo walk on Saturday night.
How many are we?
I think we're about eight people at the moment.
Excellent.
More, I don't know.
There's a girl I know coming up from Melbourne, which if she's free, I might invite her along as well.
Oh, cool.
So...
Excellent.
Terrific. Well, we're going to have some fun.
Excellent. All right. Well, I will see you on Friday and talk to you then. On Saturday, I mean, and I'll talk to you then.
Thank you.
All right, mate. See ya.
Goodbye, everybody. It's been lovely talking at you.
See ya.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email thevoice@shuttersincpodcast.com.